My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But how about the baseball yesterday, BT? The Mets just won everybody, almost everybody, left them for dead after that 9-0 drubbing in game one. They punch back. They punch back immediately. They punch back harder. Lindor getting it started right out of the gate. Vientos the grand slam. Even Diaz closed it out. Manaea made Shohei Ohtani look like a little leaguer. A tremendous performance in game two. And I told you yesterday, these things, man, can change quickly. And the feel after game one, even if you were an optimist, the feeling after game one was, uh-oh, the Dodgers are legit. But the feeling after game two is, hey, I'm not so sure this thing's going back to L.A., BT.
I love it. That was a great win by the Mets, man. You know, really, I think it's probably close to about an identical encapsulation of who they've been for a long time. You just take the game because what happened the day before, and all right, from jump, the guy who's led the charge, Lindor, bomb. Saw those shot, little message, hey, we're here. We know what happened yesterday. We know about your little 33 straight innings without a run. Guess what? Here's the dent job, and now that streak is over. So, okay, boom. Then the other piece that's been arguably number two, Vientos with the granny, and then the third piece, Manaea, who was very good again. And then you look at the other piece, whether it's Taylor with a big hit down the line, Marte, couple knocks, Winker.
How about Pete with the stolen base?
Yeah, I know, Pete, right? Yeah, it's true. I just think that, you know, yesterday, first of all, I thought it was a massive win. I said to you, I didn't know if they would win yesterday.
Right.
I said, but if they don't, I think it's over.
Right. I did not feel like that.
I know you didn't.
But only
I did,
because
if
I
they
trust
lost.
Them. Only because I trust them, and now we don't have to worry about that. They didn't lose the game. But even if they lost, they still would have said series not over yet. But this is why, because I believe in this team. That doesn't mean they're gonna win. Who the hell knows? We'll see. But all of a sudden, as bad as it felt Sunday, that's all changed now. Game one is a distant memory, and it's a best of five with three in a row at Citi Field, where I think the Mets are going to have a huge home field advantage. And think of it this way. Now, again, who knows what could happen, and we'll see what the pitching matchups, what the Mets do, in fact, decide to do in game five, and how it plays out with Severino here in Quintana against that very difficult Dodger lineup. But you would expect, at least I do, minimum two of three from the Mets. That gets you to up 3-2 at worst. That's what I'm expecting. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's going to play like that, but I'm expecting minimum two out of three. That gets you to up 3-2, needing one to advance to the World Series in L.A. in game six or seven. Now, maybe they sweep. And look, maybe the Dodgers win two out of three. Anything could happen here. But for me, with this Mets team being as good as they've been all year long, specifically at home, I expect the Mets to win at least two out of three in games three, four, and five.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, again, flip of the coin, you just really don't know. But I think what it shows you is that what yesterday showed me is that it's going to be a deep series. You know, however the configuration goes, you know, Mets win two, then they lose the third. Maybe they lose the first two, then they win the third. Like, whatever it is, it just showed that, I want to say that I thought maybe after the 9-0 whitewashing that maybe the magic was evaporating. Because when I use the word magic, it almost downplays the level of execution. And I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
It almost makes it seem like oh, well, they're a little hokey pokey magic wand. And somehow the little teeny tiny Mets are here. I'm not saying that. But there have been a few moments where it's gut check time. And every single time, but it wasn't within a series. It was within games.
Right, like life on the line.
Yeah, the first game against the Phillies. Right. Think about just all those quality at-bats.
0-2, 0-2, 0-2.
The Milwaukee game. They had to win that last Sunday of the regular season. Lost the first two games. They come back and win the Atlanta game. Had to, you know, exercise the demons in the House of Horrors. So right now, if you're a Mets fan, you definitely feel like you're cooking. You had to get, it didn't matter which one you got, but you had to get one. The fact that you got it with Manaea, I almost feel better than if you would have got it with Senga going and Peterson, because now your ace continues that level of dominance that I think is really important for the rest of the team residually, that confidence, that belief. And now you're back in your crib for a couple of games in Queens, and it's going to be absolutely nuts.
Now, remember, I know what you're saying about the magic thing, and the Mets have had that momentum and mojo and confidence and that extra special, you know, feel, that team of destiny type feel. But in reality, going in and going into the season, going into the series all year long, like, the Dodgers are just, look at their lineup, look at what they've been like. It's not unfair to say the Dodgers are a better team, and certainly the best team that the Mets have faced this year. And the Mets, to beat the Dodgers, it's not going to just take some pixie dust. They're going to have to be the better team. Like, you can maybe get away with that in a best of three or even a best of five. You can't get away with it in a best of seven. They are going to have to outplay the Dodgers for, you know, four out of these seven games. And they can do it. They showed you in game two why they can do it. They just need their guys to perform. And think about it too, BT. They're doing it without Brandon Nimmo and Pete Alonso. Like, it's been the same thing. Lindor, Vientos. All right, guys chipping in bottom of the order. Pitching. Is that formula going to continue here? Can that work where it's not Manaea? It's now Severino and Quintana against that potent Dodger lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe they're going to need Nimmo and Alonso to be big factors here at home.
Or at least one of them.
In addition, yeah,
at least
fair.
One of them.
That's fair. In addition to Lindor and Vientos, the mainstays. I'll tell you something else real quick before we get to the Yankees. Alvarez, it's time to consider sitting him. He looks awful.
I hate his approach. He's too much of a free swinger. He's sloppy. He's got a lot to fix this offseason.
He's killing him.
A
now,
lot.
To the Yankees.
Hold on, before we get there.
Yeah.
I want to know, number one, and you can do this quick. Number one, what gives you the most confidence, whatever you're going to identify, I'm curious, that the Mets will win the series, and what gives you the greatest pause right now? Specific to this matchup.
Still, Diaz gives me the greatest pause. I do not trust
Diaz.
Him. Again, he comes into the game, and he gets the first two guys, and he can't help himself. And then again, afterwards, like, well, you know what? I just realized my fastball is pretty good. Maybe I should start throwing it. Hey, Edwin, how many times are you going to figure it out? Just come in the game firing strikes. If you get beat, you tip your cap and move on. I can't stand it. Like you would say about Gleyber Torres, that would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
He's got all the talent in the world, but yet his head is up his rear end 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's unacceptable that he doesn't give that max effort, or he's not, because he's got the God-given ability. Diaz has the nasty stuff.
Yep.
His head. Well, what's the issue?
So anyway, I don't know. Nobody should have to remind him, hey, trust your fastball. It's 99 miles an hour, dude.
Every time over, they got to remind him.
What emboldens you the most? So Diaz worries you the most. What gives you the most confidence that you will get to the World Series? One specific thing. Is it starting pitching?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just Lindor. I mean, Lindor, Vientos, or the resiliency of this team.
Okay.
I don't know if I could say one specific thing, because with them, it's not one specific. I think Lindor embodies it the
best.
Where it's a combination of will, determination, skill, those things. But it's not just him, and he cannot do it by himself. I think it's a combination of, although I will tell you, I'm a little nervous about Sevy and Quintana against this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be the true test.
Mm-hmm.
But again, even if those guys give up some runs, which I expect, that's where the bats come into play. I do ultimately trust this lineup to score runs. I guess that's where the confidence would come in.
Okay. All right. I got you.
As for the Yankees, BT, a terrific lights-out performance from Carlos Rodon. Now, it's not like we haven't seen this before.
Yep.
That's what drives you mad about Carlos Rodon. He could be great. He could be awful. Next start, I wouldn't be shocked if he were awful. But for a night, he channeled that energy. He was cool, calm, and collected. He was as nasty as they come, setting the tone against the Guardians in Game 1.
And he was equally nasty last time out. He just imploded, which is why we weren't sure what was going to happen when he got back to the fourth inning last night. And really, it was the same script. And everything that he talked about leading up to the game, and Aaron Boone touched on this after the game against the Royals, where he just unraveled. He acknowledged that, you know, I got to get my emotions more in check. I just have to. I've got to be more in control. And he was presented with that opportunity, and he did it. And it's probably not that easy to do it, because he's predisposed to be aggressive. He is like us.
Yeah.
He's predisposed to be animated. And he had to really check that, and he did. And his slider was filthy. Not a single walk. Nine whiffs. He was, and by the way, the Yankees bullpen continue. It is just, it is untouchable.
Hey, if Holmes and Weaver don't give up any runs, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those guys, some point, whether it's the Guardians or whoever faces them in the World Series, is going to have to touch those guys up. If they don't allow runs, how are the Yankees getting beat? Even if their offense isn't great, and I know you get another clutch home run from Giancarlo Stanton, Soto hit a home run. Okay, you'd expect that off of Cobb, but the Yankees offense, to me, still, even in the first inning, it's the same thing. They get these guys on, and you're expecting, I was expecting Judge to do damage there out of the gate. Okay, this is Cobb. Yankee Stadium's on fire right now. Judge is going to do damage. He doesn't. They don't score a run again. They cannot continue to play with fire. If not for they scored as many runs on homers as they did on wild pitches last night. That's the Guardians' fault as well. Guardians were not good in game one.
Naylor was horrendous behind the plate. Now, listen, when you spike it in the dirt, you know, 57 and a half feet, and it's spinning sideways at a 95 mile per hour, it's hard to catch it. But, like, his glove wasn't even turned the right way. I mean, again, oversimplification, but all you do is you got to box up the five hole and you just take it off the chest. He was almost trying to pick it like a shortstop. He looked lazy. He was all out of whack. I loved the Yankees' approach last night, because you think about their first, before Judge made out, first, boom, bullet up the middle, boom, bullet up the middle. A little later in the game, Rizzo, boom. But like, they were looking to take the ball up the middle, which I love. Gleyber Torres is looking good. And, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, who up until 2022, when really nobody hit for the Yankees outside of Bader, hit a couple of bombs, he didn't do a whole lot in 2022. But up until that point, he was a great postseason hitter, and he's got that look, and he's got that calmness. It's funny.
Yeah, two lefties, though, you know, whether it's a Kansas City series.
I get that, but certain guys get jumpier in the postseason, like Judge. I think there's just a little,
gets better, Giancarlo, right?
He does. Like, there's a little twitch that it's hard to, unless you're watching us on Twitch or whatever. Like, I still notice Aaron Judge's hands, you know, his hands are like very much in front of his face, and then he loads and he goes back. I think there's still like a little tick, like he's still a little jumpy. Now, even though his at-bats have gotten a little bit better, Stanton, his heartbeat slows down. So, listen, the Yankees, to me, are going to the World Series. I think there's a chance this is a short series. Now you give the ball to your horse tonight. Let's go up 2-0, take care of business.
Yeah, I'm not so sure their ticket is punched just yet. I think you're going to see better performance from the Guardians. I thought they were awful last night with the wild pitches, and I still didn't think the Yankees played their best game. But like I said, if Holmes and Weaver pitch like that, nobody's going to be able to touch them. Let me just ask you real quick before we get back to the call. Same question you asked me. The Yankees will go to the World Series if what? What's your strongest belief in this team?
Well, my belief is different than answering that question. Like, my strongest belief right now is the bullpen.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I could very well make that the answer, but I actually think it might be Rodon. Like, even though he's only going to get one more start, like, I could say Rodon. I could say if Stanton stays hot, if I got to really narrow it down for one.
Well, I mean, to me, even just to simplify, or give me the weakness of the team or the thing that you would be concerned most about. Like, I think the bullpen or the pitching.
Situational hitting still worries me a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right. Not like it used to with some of those teams. It's gotten a little bit better, but it's still not where it needs to be.
Right. The bullpen has been lights out, so that's a reason to be encouraged. And you would expect Gerrit Cole to dominate tonight, but we've seen, much like Rodon, I mean, not to that level, obviously. Gerrit Cole's much better than Rodon, but we've seen inconsistencies.
Yeah.
If they pitch, they will go to the World Series. End of story. But if there's a little hiccup with the pitching, I don't think this offense is going to bail them out the way that they have either in the regular season or maybe we feel like in years past.
Well, the wind was weird. And by the way, unless I don't remember it last year, I liked the graphics, and they did this even the previous series with the Yanks and the Royals, where they have, at the start of the game, the arrows coming in from all the way from the left field foul line to the right field foul line. You get a like we knew last night was windy. Jets Bills at Yankee Stadium. It was like a minus 11 from the right field line. Obviously, meaning you're going to lose about 11 feet. It's a very interesting like mathematical science weather equation that they came up with. So I like that. I think that that's really good, and I think that the configuration of Yankee Stadium still benefits them. I think that eventually the wind's going to be blowing going out. Unlike last night, Torres is going to pop one to right field. I could see Volpe popping one to right. I think the Yankees have one or two games where they put up six or seven runs. They will hit more than this.
Yeah,
I still believe that.
They might have to. I mean, Cleveland last night with the wild pitches. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that right. was like, it's that's uncanny. I've never seen that.
It's embarrassing.
It was like Rick Ankiel back in the day. Remember him when he fell apart?
I do remember that. Oof. I do think Cleveland will be better moving forward, but who knows? It's going to take a lot for them to win this series, especially with the Yankee pen being the way that it is. All right, let's get some calls in here. 888-808-1019. Danny is in Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, BT, I'm feeling your vibe coming through the radio waves. You know, I wanted to tell you something for a long time, BT. I've been calling. You and I have a mutual friend in your boy Beanie. Him and I are pretty tight. You know,
by the way, was maybe the craziest dude that I knew growing up. Awesome athlete, awesome guy. Keep going. Crazy. Yeah. I love him.
Dude, listen, BT, I can't take this dysfunction anymore. It's so mind-boggling to me what this team puts you through. You know, it all started with Hall dropping the first series, and then we get the 30-yard down play. We're at the 25, and Lazard is covering the tight end and just keeps snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. The offensive line is atrocious and killing us. I don't understand what the whole problem with this team is. It's like bashing your head. Root canal is better than watching this team, BT. I am so done with it. I'm so disheartened and deflated. This team is in my blood my entire life. When it comes to this team, my life is balanced until I'm a Jet fan. I'm like a 12-year-old kid when it comes to this team, and I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
I'm so deflated. Yeah. And here comes the dysfunction again, right?
Yeah.
Now,
well, what'd you think was going to happen?
Davante Adams?
Well,
I mean, Danny. Can he play left tackle, BT? Well,
I don't know, man. Thank you for the call there, Dan. What happens, you know, and the Met fans have gone through this, not quite like the Jet fan. Nobody liked the Jet fans. But the more you want it and the more you don't get it, the more painful it becomes. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, I've been trying to tell you for 2 years. I mean, it's not my fault you get sucked back in and want to believe in this team. Blind faith, Super Bowl this, 12 wins
this year
that.
Wasn't blind, no, Sal.
No,
maybe blind in the recovery for Rodgers, the age, a little leap of faith. Okay.
You ignored what you knew was a major problem.
Understood.
And the head coach.
Yeah, but that's why I always said, and I even said it earlier today, like, if Rodgers is 75% of the guy who was in Green Bay at his best,
right.
Not even 90 or 85, just 75-ish.
Don't you think he is that?
I do. Right. But that's why I'm stunned that they're 2-4. I do think he's. It's crazy. Like, he's making throws that he made the one throw to who called Lazard. Remember that one throw? It's almost like he called it through the safety's legs. There's not a quarterback in the NFL that's making that throw. No, Rodgers could still sling it around, but I think that the thought of who the Jets could be this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
here was not irresponsible when it's backed up by Vegas, when it's backed up by, and listen, opinions are a dime a dozen, but Schrager, the Jets Super Bowl.
Could care less.
I mean, I'm just saying, but these are people who study the game for a living.
Well, they're wrong.
Far they're wrong. I get that.
And by the way, like,
but it doesn't mean they were responsible when they first did it.
And I'm not saying that like it came out of nowhere.
That's all I'm saying.
But couldn't we? Is it too much to ask to actually see them do something before we go from zero, and I mean zero, to Super Bowl? Just because Aaron Rodgers, poof, magically appears, doesn't mean that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And that was the talk. And I'm just trying to lower the expectations to a realistic level of saying, okay, well, yeah, it's possible because you have Rodgers, who's won four MVPs and won a Super Bowl before. It's nice to dream, but you actually have to see them do it. Also, while all those things could be true and you could hope and all that, we all acknowledged that they had the literal worst head coach in the league. So we just tried to sweep that under the rug and say, you were saying many times, they're going to win in spite of having the worst head coach.
That's what I said.
I just chose to acknowledge that head coach means a lot and he's going to be a problem. And what have we seen? He's fired after 5 weeks. There's so much problem that he's fired after 5 weeks. The lack of discipline is nauseating. The lack of consistency, even the defense, which has gotten worse. That's one thing that I thought was a given. You know why? Mm. Because at least we saw it happen. Like, I never thought it was a great defense, like everybody said, but at least we saw it be a good defense a year ago.
You're not wrong, but if you remember at the start of the season, I said, hey, listen, I think the pass rush will be fine. Because I thought eventually Reddick would get in here. Now Reddick's going to be gone, and that's fine. But I was worried about the run defense. They lost a couple of the big bodies up there who were very Franklin Myers and two others, by the way. He's very good at stopping the run. Hey, listen, I know we have Jermaine Illuminor coming up next, right? So we'll do a little Giants. We'll get back to the baseball stuff. But, yeah, I get it. We pushed it to the end with the Jets, but we do that with everything and every team here. We're already talking about the Knicks. Carl Anthony Towns, Brunson, pick and roll. Take the next step from
last year. But they've been building.
Well, I get it, but Rangers just Sturkin, next step, retool, get to the Stanley Cup, win it. Last year when the Yankees got Soto, all right, you got Soto, Judge in his prime, Cole in his prime, got to get to the World Series. Mets, you don't have this, you do have this, 75, 78, 9, 79, 80 win team. Like, we always project. That's what we do.
But the difference is those other teams had been building towards something. With the Jets, to me, they never put the foundation in place. It was a little, you know, ambitious to say Super Bowl. We've done a lot of Jets, ripping them for their performance last night. Getting Devontae Adams, the breaking news yet again, the second straight week on a Tuesday, BT. We've been breaking news during our open with the New York Jets.
They want our reaction, nobody else's.
No, they got it with the firing Saleh. And then, of course, today, trading Devontae Adams. And it's funny, firing Saleh made you a lot more happier than Devontae Adams did.
Because, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Think about that. You're not wrong. Like, I mean, yeah, you know, we use the word regenerate. Sure.
Yep.
All right, the Steelers game comes around, you get back a little hopeful. All right, win this, maybe, you know, beat the Pats 4-4. Right now, I honestly don't care. It seems like a Hail Mary that's going to fall right on the turf like almost every other one, except the one that Rodgers actually threw last night that was caught.
Yeah, a terrible loss, and the season not over yet, but it's not looking good. I don't care who they get. And the next thing will be to trade Hassan Reddick. Anyway, we talked a lot of Jets. We've done some Mets and Yankees. Yankees getting the ALCS started off the right foot with a win last night. Game 2 tonight at the stadium. It's going to be cold out there.
Yeah, I know it is. I know.
Going to be cold, but that day, that's playoff baseball. But the Yankees game two tonight with Gerrit Cole on the mound looking to really put a nice, you know, chokehold on the Guardians here to start this ALCS out.
It's the ace, and it is. It's windy, too. I mean, hey, it wasn't too cold for Tino and O'Neill and Cheats and those boys. Yeah. Standard business tonight.
I was going to go tonight, but now I'm thinking, man, it's going to be cold. I still think I am going to go for a little bit. Yeah, I know. My wife was complaining about the wind, and, oh, what's this noise? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not home. I'm at work.
What is it?
Probably a tree or something.
It's the world ending.
Yeah. Oh, there's this rattling. I'm like, what am I supposed to do about it? I'll be home later. I mean, okay, I'll come. Can you video it and show me? And then she said she thought it was the tree hitting the window. Okay, great.
Well, you know what does happen sometimes? If it's so windy, sometimes the alarm will get activated. And sometimes it'll happen in the middle of the night. And you got the alarm blaring, and you don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, that's scary.
You're grabbing weapons. You're doing what you got to do. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're like, you know, what? It's because it's the wind. It just activates, you know.
So we had Yankees tonight, game two, a little breather from the Mets. By the way, so you get the Yankees in isolation tonight, which is going to be nice for
a change. Thank God.
Dude, it is all
too much yesterday.
Sunday with the Mets and Giants. Yesterday, now again, we're not complaining because we love this stuff. Mm-hmm. But it would be better if you had something at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Like, when you have everything going on at once, it's chaos. And it's hard to just sit there and enjoy the game and take the game in the way that we want.
How'd you watch the game? How did you do it?
I had another element because I was at work. Okay. So I had a problem because I was on Baseball Night New York was on after the Mets postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
So Mets, no issue. Then as I'm getting ready for the show, I'm watching Yankees.
Yep.
Then Jets. Then I did the show. The show was on from like 9 to 9:30 roughly. Mm-hmm. So I'm on during. At that point, the Yankees game was basically already over. The Guardians, you know, wet themselves with the wild pitches left and right. So the only thing I missed was Stanton, but I found out about that. Then when I left and went home, I was listening to flipping back between John and Susan.
Okay.
And I heard the Ramirez at bat with Weaver getting him out. Once that happened, the game was basically over. And I was flipping back and forth with Susan. And listening to the Jets. And then I got home in time for the entire fourth quarter.
That's pretty good. That's a hell of a juggle right there.
Well, I mean,
you got no choice. You got to do it.
What am I supposed to do? Commuting, working, whatever. Yes. But yeah, but it's a lot at once. So how did you do? You were home at least for both.
I watched the first seven. As a matter of fact, we had baseball practice for the team that I didn't even go. I didn't even coach. Like my son went to play. I didn't even coach. I'm watching
too
the Mets.
Too busy, yep.
So I watched the first seven innings of the Mets game. But then I had to go pick him up to get him to a soccer game. So I'm recording on the Mets the last two, listening to the Mets. Howie 880 is I'm going to pick him up to take him from baseball to soccer. And then when we got home, Jen made a nice salmon meal. We had a little leg, whatever. A little salmon, a little rice. That was great. Caesar salad, phenomenal dinner. And it was actually awesome. And then as we, so obviously before I went to go to the soccer stuff, I'm already rolling. Jets rolling. Jets recorded. Yankees recorded. I watched the first five innings of the Yankees. Uninterrupted, did not look at my phone, did not even flip to the Jets, had no idea what the zero clue. After five innings, and there was enough, I'm trying to guess, maybe 50-ish minutes, maybe slightly more of Jets game actually accruing, then I'm like, all right, now I'm put the Yankees on hold for a little bit, and then I watched the Jets, and I zoomed through, you know, 30 seconds, so I went snap, 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 and I watched up until the half, then I went back to the DVR, Yankees click, resume play, then I watched them for a good 30 minutes and a little bit more half.
That's a nice juggle there.
I was like a ninja with the remote. It was perfection.
No
like,
phone,
I didn't miss anything.
I did see you tweet a couple of things about the Jets last night.
Then once the Yankees were done, now I'm like, okay, because I'm not going to get fooled by a score. I know the Yanks won. I watched it. Mets obviously watched it. They're done. And by the way, when I got back from soccer, I watched the last two innings of the Mets game just to get up to speed on that.
Okay, right.
And so now what I'm doing is I'm like, all right, so there's nothing that's going to surprise me. I literally, like I always, when I get home from work, I put my phone where our coffee machine is, my wallet, my key. I have the same spot. And I didn't even, as I'm laying on the couch, you know, watching the game with the family, I didn't even bring the phone with me to the couch to be tempted. Now I had to tell Colt something. He's on his iPad with his buddies playing. And I'm like, listen, don't tell me, like, good or bad. I don't want to know what happened. And he was good, and he didn't. And he didn't even watch it. He was so invested, his iPad. He was so invested in the Yankees and the Jets as well. Didn't miss a thing, but it's not fun watching that way. And at the end of the night, even though the Yankees, and I'm pumped, I really think the Yankees are winning the World Series this year. Like, I truly believe that. Now, I haven't said that in a long time. Pumped about the Yankees. I actually went to bed feeling as if they lost. Everything that mattered to me was a loss because of that's how much, like, I think the Jets season not ended, but kind of ended last night.
Yeah, the Jets
took away the joy of the Yankee win.
Yeah, the Mets won, the Yankees won, everybody feeling good, and the Jets lost. And not only did they lose, They lost in a very frustrating way. The damn penalties all night long, infuriating. And that is a game, as we said earlier, that the Jets could have won multiple times over. But, of course, they ended up losing. Dion is in Queens. What's up, Dion? Dion, you there? Tony's in Staten Island. Tony, you there?
Hey, Tone.
Hey, guys. Yes, I am. Good afternoon, fellas.
How are you, Tony?
What's up, buddy?
Not too bad. Just, I called about the Jets, Brandon. You know you're a baseball guy, experience. I just want to ask one thing with the lefty righty where Stanton is in the lineup.
Yeah, go for it.
They have him batting. You know, they have him batting after Wells is a lefty. They have him in the five spot. So maybe move him up to maximize his at bats. But my real question is do you think now the relief pitcher coming into phase three batters, is that protection element or that protection theory still to an advantage of the batter or to the pitcher?
I think it depends how it's deployed. I think it depends what pitcher you're calling it. I think it depends what batter's digging in the box to face him. There's a lot of variables, and it would fluctuate based on the team, the manager, and the skill level. But I listen, Wells,
it enhances the offense. Doesn't it? Because if you bring in a lefty, let's say, to get, like, I think it's designed to speed the game up, but it also is helping, you're benefiting the offense, because otherwise, let's just say, oh, here comes stand-up. Well, you're not letting him face a lefty.
Well, that's why I say, if you have like a lefty or two, and I know the Yankees only have one before Stanton, obviously Wells and Judge before that is a righty, but that's why I say it's really fluid. Like, if you have a great lefty whose splits actually work well against lefties and righties, like he needs to get pounded by righties and just own lefties, then I think it depends on the skill level of the pitcher.
Sure,
it's so hard to answer that question.
Well, understood. But in theory, it hurts you if you can't make a move. Like, whatever, Ottavino's not a great pitcher anymore, but Ottavino can get some righties out. The reason why you can't use him is because there's a spot where maybe you'd say, all right, let's bring him in to face Giancarlo Stanton, let's say. But knowing that whoever, you know, Jazz is on deck behind him, you can't have him face a lefty. So I do think it hurts the pitcher in that spot. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the worse the pitcher, the more it hurts them, but I do think it benefits
the offense. But you can't change, and one sec there, Tony, you can't change, well, I guess you could, but Tony, your premise is, you know, maybe bump up Stanton there, but then they could just go the other way, and they could, not that Stanton doesn't hit righties, he does, but then they could just do something to counteract righty-righty-lefty if it's Judge, Stanton, and Wells in success. Like, there's always a way around it if you're a good manager with a good bullpen, and the Guardians have an outstanding bullpen, so, you know.
Yeah, I personally think he should bump up a spot just to maximize his at-bats, but moving to the Jets, I think you guys said they're going to go from zero to Super Bowl. Listen, this is a Woody Johnson plan for the last 25 years.
Yep.
Bringing in Rodgers, firing Soler, doing all the games they're playing with the coordinators. And now what kind of draft pick are they going to give up for Davante Adams? A second-round pick?
Well, it's a third. A conditional third.
Who cares?
Yeah, at this point, who does care? Yeah. I agree
It doesn't matter. Even I'm not caught up in that, Tony, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, bud.
At this point, a second or third round pick is not going to help you anyway. They're a freaking mess. Here's what's going to happen. They're not going to be good enough this year to win the Super Bowl. You might be lucky enough to where if everything breaks right over the next 10 weeks, they find themselves in the hunt for a postseason spot, maybe winning the division. That might be their best way in, by the way. But let's say they're a playoff team. Best case, they win a playoff game. Everybody be happy. The reality is it's never going to be built to be a sustained successful winner the way that it is right now. Ultimately, they're going to have to fire everybody, hire a new face of football and a new head coach. And ultimately, you would hope that it's somebody that knows what the hell they're doing, like a Jim Harbaugh. Unfortunately, he's no longer available.
Or Vrabel.
I don't even think Vrabel's that guy, but
Belichick,
at least he's better.
He ain't coming.
Did you hear what Bill said last night?
I heard what he said 3-4 days ago.
No.
Will he take a dump on us again? What'd he say?
He did.
I just can't leave us alone.
Do we have the sound in there?
The Mannings? Is it the Manning cast?
Again, yeah.
What did he say?
It was even worse this time.
Oh, jeez.
He ripped them to shreds and then said specifically about, he called out Woody directly.
Did he really?
About saying, well, that's what the owner does. Already aim fire. What's saying he fired Sol too quick. Team hasn't, you know, they've won basically, you know, 30% of their games for 10 years. Already fire.
Wow.
He said it wrong, right? But do we have that cut?
Let
me know when we have. Oh,
he's
dude.
Feeling himself, huh?
He's getting drunk with
Peyton.
He's going out of
Loose
his
lips.
Way now to rip them up.
I know,
but it does tell you it's not. This is not like a personal thing with Bill and the owner. I think he just, from a football coach's standpoint,
yep.
has zero respect for the way that the Jets do things.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
And,
yeah,
and also, he happens to be right.
Yeah, well,
I don't 100%. Know what he personally seems like a nice guy, whatever, and he's friendly with the fans. And
Woody is not. I've met Woody. He's actually, he's terrific. He's so sweet. He's a great guy. He's
nice. It's not from a lack of effort. It's just... He's doing it the wrong way. We have it. Listen to this from Belichick last night on the Manning game.
That's kind of what it's been there at the Jets. You know, they barely won over 30% in the last 10 years. So, you know, the owner being the owner, just ready, fire, aim.
But, Bill, you mentioned, I mean, in 99, you were the D.C. for the Jets. Parcells was the head coach. He stepped down. And you replaced him for a day before resigning. We have a recreation of your resignation.
I didn't hear.
You wrote, quote, "I resigned as HC of the NYJ," and you wrote it on a napkin. Bill, looking back, which is stranger, that you resigned on a napkin or that you couldn't be bothered to write out the words "head coach"?
I was tight on space. Hey, look, Peyton, I was the head coach of the Jets twice. I was the head coach before Parcells came there, and I was the head coach after Bill resigned. Undefeated, unscored on. All right. My career as a coach of the Jets, it's unblemished.
I did not. Now, there was another part to that, the beginning part. I didn't have that second part, but there was another part, I think, even before that, where he said other stuff about before he went into the ready, you know, fire, aim thing. But still, those are pretty scathing comments again toward Woody Johnson.
This is where we're at, huh? This is where we're at. Let the jokes fly. I mean, listen. We deserve them. It is what it is.
But that's what they need, BT, is a real, legitimate program builder. Somebody who's going to come in and say, get Woody, get out of my way, and let me run things this way. And here's what we're going to do.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that guy available? Would that guy be willing to come here? I'm not even so sure. Like, we talk about Joe Douglas and being more good than bad. I don't even know if Joe Douglas wants to be here anymore.
I'm going to sound like such an ass when I say this, but I mean this, okay? It will never happen. If Woody Johnson, and I've been to the facility before, it's gorgeous. If Woody Johnson gave me 5 minutes in a conference room, just myself and Woody Johnson, okay? And I said, you got to listen to me, Woody, all right? You have, and he actually listened to me, it would be fixed. I'm not saying, I don't mean overnight. I'm not saying that. Problem is he doesn't have anybody that he trusts. There's no, and I've said this because Andy Trask has told me that there's no football people. That's why when the Jets got to hire somebody, hey, Peyton, what do you think about Gase?
Hey, Charlie Cassidy. Yeah,
you're 97. You're a dinosaur. What do you think about today's NFL? Do this. Okay. Hey, Charlie Cassidy was good 36 years ago. Let's do what he says. Like, he has no direction, and it's a directionless franchise. As you can tell, let's make a trade today, you know, when we're probably out of it, or won't, let's trade for somebody over the summer, and now he's not signed, and now we'll trade Hassan Rod. It's just absolutely broken. God help us. I hate it.
Time to talk to Jermaine Illuminor. This giant colon brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jermaine, it's been a couple of weeks, and, you know, last week you were supposed to come on. Robert Saleh got fired, so we had to postpone it, and that's off a big win that you guys had in Seattle. This week we have on, but there was breaking news with Davante Adams, your former teammate, coming to New York now. He's going to be a member of the Jets sharing a building with you. Have you spoken to Adams at all? What are your thoughts on Davante Adams becoming a New York Jet?
No, I haven't spoke to him since I left the Raiders. You know, I was friends with him over there. He's a great guy. You know, obviously things didn't work out from over there. He's a baller, and he's one of the best in the league when he's, you know, in the right situation. So I wish nothing but the best for him.
You know, Jermaine, I want to be positive here. I know you lost the game on Sunday night. Before we get into that and look ahead to the Eagles, you and the offensive line have been playing your asses off, and you guys dominated the game in the trenches in Seattle, came away with a win. I know the record's not where you want or hope or expect it to be, but so far, at least for me, I feel like the foundation is being built with this team. You just got to finish. Where are you at with the Giants' offense right now and how you guys have been performing through the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, as an offensive line, I feel like we're getting better and better. Obviously, we can do little things in the run game to improve that, but, you know, from that Dallas performance to where we're at now, I think we're on the right road. Pass blocking, I feel like we're one of the best pass blocking units in the NFL. So we just got to continue to do what we're doing and just keep getting better every single week and trying to help this team win the games that we need to start winning. You know, the defense is balling, so we need to do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, how's Andrew feeling? I know he was hobbled at the end of the game, was going for an MRI. Is he okay?
Yeah, I don't know too much about it, but, you know, he's a freaking beast. So, you know, him being out there, every offensive lineman is banged up. So, you know, we're all going through things, but that's kind of the name of the game for offensive line. You know, how tough are you? And, you know, how long can you sit in there until you can't anymore? You know, even when the wheels fall off, you still want to be in there and help your team win. So, you know, I know him, he's a dog, and, you know, we'll find out what happens. But, you know, I don't really know too much, but like I said, he finished the game and he did everything he could out there for us to win the game.
I got you. So we're talking to Jermaine Illuminor. And listen, you spent, was it Belleville? Do I have that right? Did you say Belleville?
What was that?
Belleville, right? You spent time growing up Belleville. Right? Was it Belleville?
Oh, Denville.
That's right, Denville, my bad. So you know the area, all right? And unfortunately, yeah. You know, I mean, I won't say the negativity sells, but generally those visceral reactions are more prevalent than just getting on the air and waxing poetic about something. As much as that stinks, it's backwards, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is. But I want to tell you, your positive tweets, and there's going to be an expiration point on that. I understand you got to start winning some games at 2-4, but the appreciation that you have for being a Giant, the positivity that you project, I think it's awesome, and I'm not even sure how you really respond. It's not really a question. I just want to bring that up. If you haven't followed him on social media, you are, I think you're a good one, and I think that what you're putting out there in the atmosphere is awesome for the franchise. I really do.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, I really want to be here, and I really want to be part of the solution to making this team a dominant team and getting back to where I belong, this franchise belongs. So for me, them giving, putting the faith in me to go out there and do my job and let me play freely instead of having to look over my shoulder constantly has been a blessing for me. And that's why I'm giving everything I have, and, you know, all the tweets and everything I say in the media is true. Like, I truly love being a Giant, and I truly love being here, and I really take it serious when the NY emblem on the side of my helmet and wearing that blue uniform on white when we're away and being in that life and really trying to, you know, bring that life back into this team and this fan base. And, you know, like I said, I try to put it on my shoulders and so do some of the other guys too, but I truly want to get this team back to where they belong and I feel like we belong.
You know, we love you. We love that about you, Jermaine. But at some point, the wins have to start to follow here. And you mentioned it. You want to, you know, get the offense to the point where we expect it to be. Well, what's missing? Because when I watch this team, and I'm not asking you to be critical of any of your teammates, but for me, I feel like a lot of the pieces are in place. Even with Neighbors being out, you guys can still move the ball a little bit. Some plays are there. I love the coaching. I still see an issue with the quarterback. In your mind, what's the issue with why you guys just cannot finish drives and score more points than you've been scoring?
I think it's just our execution. You know, if you look at some of the stats, we're one of the best offenses in the NFL on first down, time of possession, like really controlling the game. We just need to finish. Like, our red zone, we need to be better in. We just need to be more, what's the word I'm looking for? More consistent in the red zone. You know, we get down there. There hasn't been a game where we haven't been able to drive the ball on any team. Even like I said before, the Vikings game, we were able to drive the ball down the field, on them too. So we just need to finish, and that's the biggest thing that we're emphasizing now. And all the other guys like me and GV, you know, Wondell, Slate, even Tracy, like we're really trying to get in there and finish. And that's just a few of the names I mentioned. Like, we're all trying to get in there and really finish and put points up on the board. Because we know with our defense, even if we score freaking 20 points, which isn't a lot in the NFL, or it is a lot in the NFL, but, you know, if we score freaking 17, 20 points, then our defense will win the game for us because we have that type of defense. And it's my first time playing with a D-line as dominant as this and D-tackle as dominant as this. So, you know, they deserve the wins, and we need to follow suit and give them what they deserve and what this team deserves.
Jermaine, how much does the playbook change without Neighbors out there?
It doesn't change much, if I'm being completely honest with you, just because of the type of receiver Slate is. I mean, y'all seen it these past couple games. Slate is a freaking dog out there, and, you know, I truly think he's a receiver one too, just like Neighbors. Obviously, Neighbors is a special talent, and like I said before, I truly think he's one of the best teams in the NFL, even as a rookie. So, you know, to get him back and to have Slate going down, to get Wondell going, and to get Field going in the passing game, you know, it would be huge. And getting neighbors back this week hopefully will be huge for us, just because it adds another element to the offense that teams will have to game plan against, and then that will help Slate get open instead of them covering him and covering one down. And, you know, it will just improve our offense and just help us get back to what we want to get to. But, you know, the receivers have done a hell of a jump since he's been out. And, you know, yeah, I mean, you can see that with the type of receiver Slate is.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Jermaine Illuminor. Big game coming up this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you worry, Jermaine, at all? And I saw this being written about, I think it was in the New York Post, but the possible fracture because the defense is playing so well, but the offense hasn't held up their end of the bargain. You worry about that at all with your Giants team?
Not at all. I mean, it was the same thing last year when I was in Las Vegas. Like, we had a great defense. Like, our defense was freaking balling out. But on offense, sometimes we just couldn't get the game going. Like, we had a game last year against the Vikings and lost literally 3-0 because we couldn't do anything on offense. And that Vikings offense was pretty damn good. And our defense held them to 3 points, you know. So I've been on teams like that, and it sucks. Trust me, it sucks. You don't want to be on that type of team. But I'm not worried about that at all, just because of the type of guys and the type of character the guys have in the locker room. And we understand that we need to start playing complimentary football. And once we get to that, we really start seeing an improvement in the win column and just in everything in general. So, you know, like I said, sometimes the offense is going to do great and the defense is going to need us to really have their back. And sometimes the defense is going to do great and we're going to need them to have our back because we're not doing what we need to. But, you know, Sunday was unacceptable and we all know that. And no one's harder than us on us. We know that. So we know what we need to do. We need to go out there and, you know, fulfilling our end of the agreement.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's a little different for the guys who have been Giants for a while, and is obviously your first year, as we know. The Saquon, you know, the battle with Saquon. What's the vibe? What's the juice in the building? I mean, beloved by Giant fans, now he's the enemy, and he's the biggest enemy. What's it like?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't really know Saquon, so I can't really comment on that. I'm sure he's close friends with a lot of the guys in the locker room, and I'm sure a lot of them are going to be more competitive in the game. I mean, it's the NFL. Everyone's going to be competitive in the game. It doesn't matter who's behind the center or behind the quarterback. So, but I'm sure it'll be some added juice to some of the guys in the locker room to, you know, go against him. They know what type of player he is. I mean, I know what type of player he is, too. He's a great freaking back. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement to play against him and play against the Eagles.
Hey, and this is a huge game, though, Jermaine. I know the Saquon's going to be a big part of the story, but you guys got to win a division game at home. The Eagles are vulnerable. They've had the better of you guys for years and the best of the division, but the Cowboys are down. The Eagles are down. You've already lost to both the Cowboys and the Commanders. This is you've been playing well, but the results haven't shown it yet, where you could be 3-3 or maybe even 4-2, but you're 2-4. This is a game where you guys have to win. I mean, I'm sorry, but the Eagles at home, division game at home, with the Eagles being vulnerable and you guys playing much better football. You understand the significance of this game on Sunday for your Giants football team?
You don't have to tell me. Trust me. I know that we need to start winning, and it sucks not winning. We all hate losing. I freaking hate losing more than anything. And so I understand that we have to go out there and win. I'm sure Eagles know they have to go out there and win too. And, you know, this division is still for grabs, and I'm sure this is going to come down to like a December game. Doing the division, it's not going to be one team running away from it, that I'm sure of. So, you know, it's still there for the taking. We're 2-4. It doesn't matter. In 2 weeks, we can be freaking 4-4. We can be 3-4 after this week going into Monday night. So, and that can do a lot for everyone's confidence in the building. So we understand that. And like I said, I'm sure the Eagles understand that too. So it's going to be a real physical game, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
If you do win, Jermaine, are we expected to see some kind of IG live like we saw from Wandell Robinson a couple weeks ago?
I'm not the biggest IG live guy, honestly. Like, I'll post a picture every now and then, but, you know, I don't think I've ever gone on live on Instagram. So,
did you see Coach get on him?
I don't know about that. Everyone saw that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was so good. Are there rules against that now? Was Dable joking around? I mean, there is something to it. You guys should kind of, you know, you don't want to broadcast everything in that locker room, but did Dable put any rules down at none of that live stuff from the locker room?
Nah, everything's fun and games, you know. I mean, obviously, Dave wants to keep it in the locker room, you know, but, you know, you can't really control things like that happen. But it's a funny joke. It wasn't any harsh things set behind doors and stuff like that. You know, we all joked about it, and it was a little fun time.
Hey, well, hopefully there's many more to come, especially this Sunday. Go beat the Eagles, Jermaine. We'll be rooting for you.
100%. Let's get it.
We'll talk to you next Tuesday. There you go. Jermaine Illuminor, Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Fun to talk to him, BT, especially after some positive feeling. I know they lost Sunday night.
Yeah.
This is just like it was yesterday for the Jets. This is an enormous game. We'll get more into it as the week goes
There's
on.
There's no doubt it's massive.
This is an enormous game. And I do think the Giants can win this football game and all of a sudden get their season back on track and potentially go chase down the NFC East and win that division.
Yeah, the Giants have chipped away a little bit here, and they're doing a lot of things better. But you got to crack through, whereas the Giants are getting seemingly incrementally better. The Eagles are getting a little worse. So, yeah, I mean, it should be a good matchup. But by the way, the IG stuff, like, we can laugh.
You see that? The Wonder
Woman? Oh, yeah. I saw that, yeah. And I didn't, I mean, I initially thought Dable was really pissed. I almost thought he was like, hey, stop being a knucklehead, in a good way. Right. Like, almost like a parent to a teenager when something's not that bad. But, I mean, that's serious stuff. I mean, you got a guy walking around in a towel, or he says the wrong thing about an opponent, or the op. Like, it's just, shouldn't happen. Keep it off. It's the locker room.
I'm with you. I don't think it's a good look. I don't want to prevent the players from having fun and enjoying a win, especially.
Yeah.
But does everything need to be broadcast?
Nope. No, it especially doesn't.
Especially inside the locker room. Have fun with it, but not my thing. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.